Elegant Sea Urchin is an eldritch audio drama written, produced, and presented by Studio Swoon as part of the Greater Swooncraft Creative. It would mean a lot if you shared us or supported us. Head over to elegantseaurchin.xyz if you're so inclined. And before the program starts, the color orange, while still being the color of hate that grew up, grew old, and couldn't be bothered with more than the minimum amount of effort, is now found under the definitions of corruption, indifference, and negligence. It's been so long. I hope you've been safe and healthy. Hey, you, listening, thanks. And welcome to the dream season. Nostalgia is the death of progress. It's okay to bask once in a while, but the future should not bend backwards to become the past. I'm guilty of this as anyone, comparing Yule to an Aya, not part of my reality anymore. Spending an entire season wasting away as we meandered across our tangerine speck. Zoth, even my learning's years was spent meandering in my own dreams rather than listening. Or growing in any way. And now I stand at the precipice of another spiral of depressing nostalgia. I think that if I were still in my previous fragment of the magenta dimension, and everything had happened differently, I would give in and let Sina's fate halt me. I hope to have the mettle to march forward. Not in sorrow, but proud to have been part of her life. I hope I can do that much. She, and Yule too, have joined me, certainly for their own reasons, but I still feel as if I need to carry some legacy of her passion for Dorball on, or of her calm, level-headedness. It's foolish to think that I could, but I still think it's important to try, because this is hard to admit out loud. We've left the shadow of the moon to finally arrive at the place named of the moon. Well, it wasn't a direct path from Salt Vein to Lunatha, but I'll save the events of the Sludge Gulf for another time. Yule and I were silent most of the trip. There were things I wanted to tell her to talk about. Things I was excited for. Creatures that we would see on our way. After the Morphowisp sight, I felt fulfilled or accomplished for now about creatures. I feel like if the circumstances were different, maybe I'd be energized to observe and chase more terrors and unclassified creatures, but since I finished my report on the Morphowisps, I've just been reading up on chronology. Yule and I have been carefully tending to one another. It's a quiet and beautiful and rather personal thing. And since we've got each other, I think we'll end up all right. While Sina being gone is far more horrible than the loss of my canine, I think I'll process this better than I did Enzo. What gets me most is what I can imagine is happening back in the cove. Heather relaying to the Ictus kinship what happened, and nothing significant done to mourn Sina by. the recently graduated class coming together to celebrate her teammates mourning like we should. But everyone else, some of you listening, being joyous, voyeurous, and carrying on, not having more than a passing apology for our loss. Well, carrying on is what we all do, and it isn't like any of you are to blame, especially since us urchins die so often across our tangerine speck. But Sina's mother, this is what I'm really getting at. I know she wouldn't grieve more than a passing glance to save face or pivot or something else superficial. One thing that was clear on the last rail was that this lady who made use of one of our tickets, she is exhaustingly eccentric, but incredibly sharp and knowledgeable for still being an urchin. It makes me wonder if Jones had a similar translational period where he was like our strange-tongued companion, Piley. And that thought makes me wonder if I'm on a similar route, where Piley is half a lifetime behind Dux Jones, perhaps I'm half a lifetime behind Piley. But I wonder what catalyst could propel her to be like the Dux, or if I'm just shoving an ideal onto her and she has no intention of being a Dux. There is one thing I know about her. Like other lunatics, she wants to see into forever beyond the smogs. As the sludge gulf passed, a thick orange-blue miasma permeated the view of what I was told by our new appendage was a magnificent view of Lunatha and its prefectures. The land rippled and rolled before us, before becoming obscured a couple kilometers or so off by the still miasma. In spite of her claims of grand twisting spires, splendid local foods, the crusade under the stars, and the fear of sunshine, I could only imagine explosions bursting through the miasma, thousands of shrikpulks breaking the mossy expanse, not devouring, merely destroying everything. The coast of the Sludge Gulf gave way to the Great Atlas Blotch. On it, dozens of floaters were bobbing. Here and there, strazodons and their long scaly fins dipped in and out, skimming the mossy sex. Raft tails floated meters over the moss, meandering slowly as they do, their long dorsal fins retracting now and then with a fresh scoop to suck out the parts of the gulf they enjoy. I believe the strange-tongued Piley had much to say, but restrained, keeping her talk to simple and practical things. And it was this obvious restraint that makes me stand by my previous claim of her being exhaustively eccentric. Her lips pinned to the corners of her cheek. Not exactly a forced smile, but certainly an exaggerated one. That pin you got, it was expired. You got rot in your leg. That's why your extended stay on the moon didn't see it healed much. Much like Yule, she had an idea of what to do about the spider's egg-looking bulge on my leg. It still seared, like the skies of the fire season, but I've either grown accustomed to it or my body is slowly beginning to fight it. I welcomed her babbling about salve and puncturing. We talked a little about doctrines, the pills Yule traded for me, about chronology. There was so much we talked about when I finally opened up to distract a little from the loss. I think, I hope that Piley will be good for Yule and me. Before leaving the station of the last rail, me and Yule withdrew some time. Yule didn't say it, but I felt it. She had regretted losing one of her runestones, plus somewhere along the line, either our impromptu escape from the Hotel Crepuscular or during her maddened state while staying there, another had gone missing. I'll do all I can for Yule, but I feel as if... she only needs to call on her kinship's Kraken and get taken away from all of this. Well, my conversation with Heather was on my mind, but it just never felt right to try to get Yule to talk about Jude. And on that note, I realize something that many listeners not familiar with the Coven kinships may not know. Yule is a third-born Aya. Her older sister met the Glowing Dawn by Arachlian Fang. I think the Aya I knew held that against me, not because of the eight-legged cat itself, but because Grandmom was fighting with officials over the formula for Nip that year, making supplies scarce. And with, well, what I think may have happened to Jude. Yeah, that just leaves Yule as the final born. And her presence so far from any sort of Aya kinship influence and protection. It's intense. Just thinking about everything riding on her. I guess I can see why she'd want to escape before she's locked in with the tendrils. I'm glad I'm a first, and only born to a kinship that doesn't have the capacity to carry the line on. Shortly after departing on foot by guide of our new appendage, we traced her path to us to reach Lunatha. First was the thicket she had arrived to guide us through. I didn't imagine the forest of Knot would be so dense, but I was prepared for some of the dangers. There's a particularly terrifying feral group of Lycian that inhabit the innermost section. The counts of their steely grasp and vicious traps have permeated our tangerine speck in a couple of children's stories, you know? And before Piley showed up to guide us, I had prepared to take some extra days to circle around Knot and just avoid it altogether. The shores of the Gulf of the Moony Moss here, they've got another type of Himwicks, and I wanted to see firsthand how they differed from the ones we have on the Cove. Perhaps when Yule and I leave Lunatha, I'll get a chance to see them. For now, Piley guided us uneventfully through Knot. I was restless in the Cove. I had an energy and a need to get out and be scattered across the world. I wanted to ice it. I guess that desire to ice our societal longing for death and the looming craving for madness by the old gods has changed to a crusade of hope, and as before, I still do. I hope. It's the only definitive thing that I think I can say I gained from our golden march over the curve and the horrors we endured at the Hotel Crepuscular. I still have this energy. I don't know if it's restlessness or unease. Yule and I have made it to Lunatha, and it's... well, I didn't know why, because I was playing apprentice to the Dukes, but I know my heart wasn't in it. And I think Sina knew he was trying to use me as a means to an end. That said, there are a couple things that are sticky in my mind. For the sake of myself, the most important one is wondering why she followed me. This strange young elder who's been interfering in Dame Marin's casts. We heard her reason, but there had to be more. That's all to say that I feel responsible for Sina's death.